Yes, this is an election year. The primary election taking place August 28th. The general election happening November 6th. Vote-by-mail ballots are going out, and early voting will begin August 18th. Now, WFSU's Perspectives is of a political variety. For this week, as we turn our attention from the school board and the county commission races to the Tallahassee City Commission races. This morning, our sixth in a series of eight political perspectives, the race for Tallahassee City Commission, C3, program being broadcast over both WFSU-FM, 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, and Facebook Live, all coming up this morning on Perspectives, right after the news from NPR and Gina Jordan. Good morning and welcome to yet another in our series of political perspectives on WFSU-FM, also 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, and we're Facebook Living it here again today. And before we begin, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of Perspectives via phone and email. Our number is 850-414-1234. If you're old-fashioned and you got one of those landline things. Does anybody have landline phones anymore? Anyone here at the table, guys? Anyone got like? No. You do, Bill? Okay. Yeah, well, that's two of us, okay? Well, we're the only two left. We're Luddites, I guess. But anyway, if that is your communication mode of choice, we got a toll-free number for you, 800-926-8809. You can go to perspectives@wfsu.org, our email address. Send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. And again, because we are on Facebook Live, you can go to the WFSU media page and you can put a comment on there, and that'll get in the mix as well. This Perspectives episode being telecast this evening at 7 Eastern Time on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. And we are live streaming on our Facebook page, and we'll continue that for a little while. We invite you also to hang around, and we got to get that with you too, Bill. Can you hang around for like about 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
After 12?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have an extended conversation. It'll give you folks an opportunity to make even more of a push for your individual candidacy.
Okay.
So we'll be doing that as soon as we get off the radio at straight up noon. And we'll be carrying it on for, you know, another 10, 12 minutes or so. And our entire program, including the extended conversation, will be archived on WFSU.org/perspectives. And a reminder that our world-renowned, critically acclaimed Bandwagon will air live on WFSU-TV and 4FSU on Tuesday, July 31st, starting at 7 o'clock. So for you guys, that's another opportunity for you to get the word out on your candidacy. This is Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3, and we have folks in order. We're going to go around the table. We'll ask them to give a little bit of background on themselves and why they jumped into the race, and then we are off to the races. And we're going to start with, randomly drawn, Alexander Jordan. Mr. Jordan, welcome to Perspectives. A little bit about you, sir, and how come you jumped into this thing?
Well, thank you very much, Tom. A little bit about myself. I come with 22 years plus of public service experience. That's working from Department of Revenue, Department of Business Professional Regulations, working with many of businesses that across our state. We had about 1.2 million business licensees when I was there. So I saw a lot of the business that were licensed coming in, licensed that were going out. But the biggest problem and concerns I had was a lot of the license that was coming back with business was not being renewing their licenses. So I'm proactively looking to improve our economic development for our community. That's one of the biggest draws here in Tallahassee. We cannot survive off of our local business. We have to find some kind of means to have a strong workforce of corporations or other industries here in the Tallahassee to help our local and small business to be successful and be more progressive as well. And my whole approach is being more proactive, addressing policies, procedures, looking at our ethics, strengthening some of our laws and rules that we have that we're to do by governing for our city.
Very good, sir. Next up, Bill Shack. Welcome, Bill. And
good morning.
Little background and why you're in this thing.
Well, a little background is I've been in the restaurant business about 28 years. And during that time in the restaurant business, you get an opportunity to get involved in a lot of charity work, and that's what I did. I rarely said no to anybody who asked me for a gift card or food. Or then I became someone who was offering my building for fundraisers. Kind of, I don't want to say invented, but I was one of the first ones to do pancake breakfasts at Applebee's, and now they're all over the country. So, but those are ways to get involved, and then I became more involved, and I started joining boards, started doing some extra things in the community. I even became an executive director of a charity that helped the intellectually disabled. I had a son who has autism, so that was kind of my inspiration for finding out what his life's going to be like and what his life is like now and how we can help. And then I got the ultimate job of taking my restaurant experience and my community involvement and becoming the food director at the Kearney Center, which helps the homeless. And as you know, there's a pretty good problem here in Tallahassee, but we're working hard inside that building every day to move people. The reason why I got in the race is because I felt like we weren't moving people enough. And I was just like any other resident reading a newspaper every day and seeing the votes that we're doing and the decisions that our leaders are making. I felt like they were the wrong decisions. And like people say, you know, if you don't like it, do it yourself. So I decided to get in the race almost 15 months ago. And that was before Nancy Miller decided not to run. I wasn't afraid to go against her. I thought that it was important for somebody new to step up and run. So that's what I'm doing. And I've been out 15 months trying to do the most homework I can to learn about the most issues I can, talk to the most voters that I can. And I think Tallahassee's ready for some new leadership. Absolutely.
All righty. And thanks for bringing up the fact that this is an open race because Nancy Miller, who has been in seat 3 for quite a while, decided that's it. No more. She's gone. Open contest. Next up, Lisa Brown. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. So my name is Lisa Brown, and I am the president and CEO of Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union. In my 25 years in the credit union industry, I've had many experiences. Not only am I a CEO, but I also am the mother of two amazing college-age children that I'm super proud of. I have a daughter at UNF and a son who is a soldier in the Army Reserves. So I have them on both sides of the spectrum here. They're amazing kids. I've had the opportunity not only to lead as a change agent, as a turnaround CEO, but additionally, I've used that experience and expertise to consult with credit unions around the world and regulators around the world. And it's actually that experience, and I have a story I'll tell you a little bit later about a time that I was in the suburbs of Nairobi, that I became incredibly inspired to see hope spring from areas of poverty that we can only imagine here. Helped me to realize that we can do so much better, that we have so much potential. And it was really those experiences that have kind of molded me into realizing that we really need to improve our ethics, our transparency, our accountability, our economic vitality and development, and we've got to do something about crime. We've got a serious crime issue here and public safety issue that we need to really knuckle down and address, and we need a serious and competent candidate to take care of that.
Thank you very much. Richard Garzola.
How y'all doing? My name is Richard Garzola. I'm a recent graduate. I'm 23 years old. I'm a community organizer. I've been a field organizer for 5 years. Community organizer. I've worked on impoverished neighborhoods around the state, whether it was back in South Florida or here in Tallahassee and throughout Leon County. I played football at Florida State. I have considered myself an activist around the community of late, and that's what kind of springboarded me into this, because I realized looking around and talking to people that they wanted someone to represent them, that talk like them and walk like them and face the same struggles they do every day. And I saw that pain in their voices when they would speak, and I felt that passion to want to do something, but they needed to be led, so you have to lead them to the water to drink it, per se. So I wanted to be that person, that vessel for them. And I felt as if all the things I did already in the community with a larger platform like this, then we can move forward and accelerate that development. And there's a lot of things I want to be seen done in the community, but I would say accessibility to leadership is one of the main keys and things I hear talking to people throughout the entire city. Whether it's a commissioner not picking up the phone or not being accessible at any time at all, and just hearing the issues, because many times people just want to be heard and felt that their issues are important. And things like that can be changed at City Hall. So I'd say that's why I'm running.
Very good. We wind up our introductory remarks here with Jeremy Matlow. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning. I'm Jeremy Matlow. Been in this race since December. I never really intended to run for office. I lived in Tallahassee my whole life and just think it can be a better city than it is today. I was raised by a single mother of four kids, and she did the best she could, but it was a struggle. We decided, when I grew up, I decided to stay here. Started my business here, built Gain Street Pies from a few thousand dollars investment into a company with over 85 employees. Met my wife here, got married, had a kid, and over the course of my life, I really started getting dragged into city politics, and we started going down to City Hall and speaking on different issues. And we largely felt like by the time the public really got involved and got a chance to speak up, it was already too late and decisions were already being made because we weren't being proactive and really bringing people into the process and really reaching out to the community and growing our city together. And I think it starts at the campaign level when we have campaigns that don't reach out to the community and really bring them in to be a part of their campaign. We're not going to see anything better on the city commission level. So our campaign is from day one is set out to see how we can engage people. And we found that it works. We've had over 100 people sign up to volunteer. We've had over 600 people give small dollar contributions because, you know, people are ready for a change. And I think if you follow the headlines the last few years, that it's time for a change. And I want to be part of that change.
We will get into some of those potential changes coming up in just a moment. We do have a Facebook question, and this is for you, Lisa Brown. It says, was the patriotic video produced by the Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union really intended to be a pre-campaign PR event for you?
Good question.
Were there credit union funds involved in that? That's what the person wanted to know, and especially, let's see, the producer of the video and red carpet event, Vancouver Jones, I believe, was involved in that?
No, they were not.
They were not. Okay.
No,
that's what the person said.
Not at all. Not at all. So to give you the story, I actually grew up here. My dad was the manager of a tire store and played music on the weekends. He was in a band since before I was born. And his dad and my dad were we grew up together. Eric Durrance with Tobacco Road Band, who's the gentleman that co-wrote the song with me. And this was an idea that we actually had about 2 years ago. And it took us forever. I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience of writing a song or producing a song, but it takes forever to do. And it was something that I engaged my board in way back when. At the time, I had made the decision that I was not running. I had a personal situation. I was in the middle of a divorce and wanted it final. If we want to be really clear as to what the issue was, I needed it final before I made the move to run for office, and had every intention of waiting until the following year. So it was absolutely something. Our credit union was originally established for city and county employees. Our hometown heroes mean everything to us and have since 1936. So, no, it was not anything that was planned. And as a matter of fact, when the question came up, when I did decide to run, I pulled all of the radio spots and anything that had to do with that to be sure that there was no question about what we did with that.
Terrific. Just wanted to clarify that. And again, if you're sending a comment via Facebook or you're making a phone call, you can address something to an individual candidate or to the whole bunch.
We are appreciate flexible. The opportunity to address it.
There we go. 850-414-1234, our number for political perspectives. Tallahassee City Commission C3. We'll be right back. We are in direct connection with Alexander Jordan, Bill Shack, Lisa Brown, Richard Garzola, and Jeremy Matlow. These are the folks who are running for Tallahassee City Commission seat number 3, once occupied, well, still occupied technically, by Nancy Miller, but she's not running for another term. So these are the folks who will be on the ballot coming up on August 28th, and you are invited to be part of that discussion as well. Let's go around the table, though, with one question to kind of kick us off here, and that has to do with, I guess, the 85 billion ton elephant in the room, which is what is going on at City Hall in regards to the FBI investigation. I saw Jeff Schwier's article in the Democrat, indictments may be flying out of the federal courthouse here, I don't know, in a week or two. We don't know how that's going to go. And in fact, we had the former U.S. attorney, Pam Marsh, in here last year, and she was saying, until it happens, you don't know what's going to happen. But from each of your perspectives, how do you address that as a city commissioner? And let's start with you, Alex Jordan. What do you do if you get in that job? More ethical controls, totally revamp the whole situation, City Hall. What do you do?
Well, that's one of the things I mentioned earlier about policy and strengthening our overall ethics board and holding more of our elected officials accountable. That's one of the biggest things that I think that we need to do. We need to look at policies. We need to go back and see how and what the requirements are for our elected officials, our employees, because if we're going to hold our elected officials and our employees accountable, we need to have some kind of common grounds. And the common ground is to actually have strong policies in place, have a review process for our budget and anything that we're doing that's related to vendors and contractors, that we're being accountable for our actions. And I don't think that we're being held accountable strong enough in the City Hall. But at the same time, we need to identify what are the loopholes that allow the city to get into this place. And it's a dark cloud over the city. But at the same time, we can move forward. And by having those policies and procedures in place, identifying the loopholes that allow the city to get into this predicament, then we'll allow ourselves to be a better city. You know, we got to remember this was called the All-American City. And with the All-American City, it's not looking like the All-American City. But at the same time, there have been some great things that have happened in the City Hall. And at the same time, there's been some concerns that have been at the City Hall. And so my main focus is just strengthen our policies and ensure accountability is there.
Okay. Bill Shack, in fact, that had been the basis of your campaign since its inception, mm-hmm. was to focus on that. So whether or not there is widespread corruption, what do you as a city commissioner do?
Well, the bottom line is we like to be leaders in different industries, Tallahassee. We need to be leaders in ethics. We need to have the strongest ethics ordinance in the state. That's a fact. And then with that, we need to find out a way or make a decision. Someone needs to lead and say city vendors and people that do business with the city have no right to run political campaigns or donate to city commissioners. That just is common sense. And bringing common sense to City Hall, I think, would solve a lot of what the problems are here at City Hall. But even more than that, what's going on right now at City Hall during the FBI investigation, we're still giving out CRA projects and saying that they were in the pipeline. How many more are in the pipeline that we're going to still continue to give tax breaks to? Those are the types of things that have to stop. We're not even pretending like the FBI is in the next building down the street from City Hall, and they are. We need to make sure that we are leading on being the number one, the strongest ethics ordinance in the state. That's a fact. So let's start there.
Okay. Lisa Brown.
Okay. So the very first thing that we need to do, is we need to establish an independent ethics board that brings to us, the city commissioners, policies that they've researched, and we need to adopt those without changes. We need to accept their – this is an independent board that's put together by various members of the community, and we need to be respectful of their recommendations without changes. It additionally needs to be the same for both employees, management, and city officials. Across the board, we need to all be treated equally. We need to be all playing by the same rules. And finally, I would entertain and suggest the idea of an inspector general's office, that we have an inspector general, because the difference between the independent ethics board and an inspector general is the independent ethics board has to respond to complaints. An inspector general or an auditor general, we can call it whatever we want to call it, can investigate at will. They can go in and say, look, I see something here that needs to be investigated, be it budget, be it ethics concerns, be it whatever that looks like. They have the ability to investigate. So I would recommend both of those changes immediately.
Okay, Richard Garza.
Yeah, so I would like to start by saying there's a dark cloud is dismissive over City Hall, because we have over 200 great employees working at City Hall that don't partake in unethical behavior. So the probe is over an individual or a small group of them. So to say that is very dismissive. There's a lot of great things the city is doing. So to rid of that unethical behavior, we can strengthen the training that's already in place. That's why we voted for that in 2014. So the way we do that is by equipping and bringing more resources to that training the people in charge of that. I also had the idea of an independent investigator to oversee what the ethics board is doing so they behave ethically as well. And they investigate each case, case by case, in a case by case basis, And I believe those are the things we need to take on to become more ethical in regards to our leaders and keeping them accountable. But also I think the transparency in the commission and all our leaders in Tallahassee, that's the way we can continue to move forward.
Oh, okay. And Jeremy Matlow.
Yeah, you know, we're at a crossroads right now. We have three open seats on the city commission. We have other people out there who may have done some wrongdoing, and I think they should step down if they know they did something wrong so we can move ahead with city business and get our image back. Largely, we've had the same group of individuals pushing the same thing. We do need to talk about the ethics code. We should go back to knowingly corrupt in the language instead of corrupt intent. We need to look at the relationship between campaign donors and workers and city vendors and contracts. But also, you know, catching corrupt people is great, but we need to elect people who aren't corrupt. And the way we do that is by having campaigns that reach out to the community and really engage and really bring more people into the process. Because when 300 people are coming down and speaking on issues, we can lead that way. And as a result, we'll have less of, you know, backroom deals or anybody pushing certain agendas in their own way. And when we really start taking care of the people and really getting them involved, I think we'll some of these problems will go away on their own.
Okay, terrific. We got a Facebook question here, and this kind of ties into, you know, that dreaded three initial acronym, CRA, although it is not totally tied into it. We know about the yin and yang in Tallahassee between preservation and growth that has been going on since, oh gosh, I don't know, probably 1824 or something like that. And when the Apalachee said, you know, look at all these guys moving in here and messing up our pretty cascade down here. What's up with that? Facebook question, how do the candidates feel about Myers Park development, such as homeowners believing their home was on a city park only to learn their city leaders were considering selling it off for development? And the postscript on this, does zoning matter? Alexander Jordan, what do you think?
Zoning matters. It's one of the biggest things that we need to look at when we look at the zoning, permitting, and city ordinance. That's one of the biggest and major issues that has been discussed with a lot of the developers and actually corporations who's coming into Tallahassee, the zoning issues, the permitting issues, and the ordinance. I think that it's very important that our community is informed up front or be involved with a lot of the issues that are surrounding the city up front. That would be part of my platform, is to educate our community proactively on some of the things that are going to impact them within the community. We cannot allow our citizens in our community be less informed. And that's been going on lately over the last couple of conversations on major issues, the CRA, when you look at the ethics issues, a lot of those concerns, the community is learning more about them after the fact. And we need to get them more involved up front. And that's basically educating our community on issues, having more community forums to allow them to get feedback and their concerns addressed from the commission as well.
Yeah, I know we have covered so many of these, and it's very disappointing when you have a neighborhood meeting about a proposed development or something that really impacts the neighborhood, and you go out and they're all the city staff and they have snacks and everything else and nobody shows up. And, you know, that maybe, I don't know,
Correct. That's key. It's part of marketing. And it starts with those individuals who support those areas. So, for instance, the city. We have a citywide. So individuals who have concerns citywide should address those issues citywide. And that again, is going back to having community forums, allowing the individual's community to know what's going to impact them. But we have to get them out there, and that's through marketing. That's ensuring we're going through the community and informing them, being proactive. And that's something that I enjoy doing, is reaching out to our community and informing them what's going on.
Okay, Bill Shack, your thoughts, sir.
Well, my thoughts are, I remember driving through Myers Park, and there was a red sign on almost every single house that said, keep public land public. And the commissioner, and they went to the commission meeting in red shirts, and the commission still voted to change their neighborhood. And that's happening all over the city. That's happening up there in the Bannerman, Bull Heedley area. Those folks want some representation for what they need, and they're not getting it. And that goes back to maybe districting the city commission seats. Someone has to represent each part of town. And then in addition, having 3-2 votes to change an entire community, maybe we should change the charter and make that a unanimous vote to do something that drastic that is going to rezone a whole area and actually change an entire neighborhood. People move to certain parts of town for a reason, and to have that cannibalized by the big developers who are also the ones donating the most money to candidates at times, there's a problem, and a big problem. But they need representation, and they need something to happen big where if you're going to change an entire neighborhood, then maybe it should be a 5-0 vote so every single commissioner can have a take a little bit of responsibility for that vote. Those are are my thoughts on that, but it's happening in other neighborhoods too. I live in Clarne. You know the golf course situation. That was rezoned as well. I sit on my home association board, and I was there from day one when the golf course owner wanted to change that. And the city changed the zoning no matter what the residents thought about or the residents felt. And that's, again, right where all of us talk about right now in this campaign. We need commissioners that work for the people, not the big corporations that are donating a bunch of checks to people.
You just brought up something that directly addresses the concern of a caller who asked not to go on the air, but wanted to find out where the boundaries of City Commission Seat 3 are. And we do not have single-member districts on the Tallahassee City Commission, unlike some of the single-member districts on the County Commission or the geographic districts on the Leon County School Board. Everybody serves for everybody. So that references what you were saying, Bill, that maybe single-member districts, a mix of general and that like the county has, that may
be
a possibility.
Sense. Once again, common sense has to rule the day.
Okay, Lisa Brown, you're up.
Well, I actually agree with both of these gentlemen. what I would say is, look, I'm a third-generation Tallahassean. I was born and raised here. I went to Leon High School. My mother went to Leon High School. And I've seen a lot of change in my life, and I've heard a lot of change. You know, I've heard the stories around the, you know, my grandma's dining room table about what it was like, you know, in the 40s, right? So we've seen a lot of change. But I would say that the change and the growth that we've seen in the last, 10, 15 years is exponential. It's we've grown tremendously, and with that growth, we can expect that we're going to have some growing pains. And I think that I think we'd be, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but I don't think there's anyone here at this table that doesn't say that we need to listen more. That we need to not only be in the community with folks, but to go where they're at, because I think that you hit on a really important point, and that is, you know, if I'm a single mother of two kids and you want me to come to a community forum, look, dude, I've got soccer practice and I've got, ballet and I've got, I'm trying to hold down a full-time job. It's everything I can do to just, you know, make ends meet and get everything done in my day that I need to get done. I don't have time. So we need to come up with innovative ways to allow the community to interact with us. There's too many technology tools out there right now. I mean, we're on Facebook Live right this minute. Why we can't use techniques like that to engage with the community, I think that innovation is the way to go.
Okay, Richard, what's your thoughts?
I believe it starts with the transparency once again and the accessibility factor of the commission to the community, because going down that street where everyone was angry, it would make sense that, okay, maybe this is the thing that these people aren't interested in, and let's hear what they have to say. And even though they showed up to the commission, that's a very formal setting. A lot of things that want to be said or cannot be said in that time frame or in that location. And if they were to go out and speak to them and hear what they had to say on alternatives or why that decision might be made and tell them, maybe you can create that sense of community and home and have that bridge and not break it with the community as a commission. In regards to the accessibility part, and in regards to transparency, telling them why we're even thinking about doing this to your land and where you've had generations of families live here, and now we're going to move you, because we have done that so many times before, whether it is with Frenchtown, whether it's with the South Side, and that's why zoning is so important. And it shouldn't come down to a 3-2 vote or 4-1 vote. It should come down to more than five individuals. In some of these cases, it should be the community making these decisions because these communities affect them more than it does us, because many times a lot of candidates live in the same area. And so it doesn't affect them immediately in regards to where they live. So I'd say zoning is extremely important, and it comes down to the community and what they feel.
Okay, Jeremy, your thoughts.
I think we need to listen to and respect our neighborhoods. If you live in Tallahassee, you call Tallahassee your home. I don't know of anybody whose voice is more important than that, because that's what we are, as a collection of neighbors. When we look at some of the developments that have come through, I think we really need to start having a bigger conversation of what does Tallahassee's future look like? Like, are we trying to be a carbon copy of other cities? Or are we trying to develop Tallahassee in a way that retains its character and is uniquely its own? We've seen on Gain Street, public property also gets sold. As a business owner and not a property owner in the area, we weren't notified. So by the time we got wind of it, it was already too late. So I think if you want to know what's happening in a specific neighborhood, it doesn't matter if you're a property owner or a renter, you should be able to get a notification from that. And then we need to proactively engage our neighborhoods and let them know what the zoning looks like already in their neighborhood and what's allowed. Because if something comes in and it's allowed, there's not a whole lot we can do, but we can get ahead of that curve and say, you know, this is what we want our neighborhood to look like in the future, and then we can promote positive growth that way.
Yeah, something else that we'll be facing somebody at this table before too terribly long is revamping the comprehensive plan, which is going to guide where a lot of those zoning decisions get made for the entire community. And that is going to be a major challenge for sure. Something to be considering, folks, as we head into this quick break here on WFSU's Political Perspective, since a couple of you have already referenced that, and that is the crime situation and how we respond to it as a community, and what you as potential city commissioners can do to address that in conjunction with other bodies such as the Leon County Commission and law enforcement and all that kind of thing. But I didn't want to cut anyone off as we get into that discussion. Again, you are invited to be part of the discussion, as always, on our Political Perspectives as we explore the all five candidates here for the Tallahassee City Commission seat 3, Alex Jordan, Bill Shack, Lisa Brown, Richard Garzola, and Jeremy Matlow. You can give us a call at 850-414-1234, or you can get on Facebook and send us a comment there. We'll address some more of those when we continue in just a moment. We are back on Perspectives, our political variety. This is the Tallahassee City Commission. This is seat 3. Tomorrow, to give you a little prelim here, we have seat 4, the mayor's seat. That'll be entertaining. And then we have seat 5 that'll be coming up on Thursday, all as part of our Political Perspectives here. And you are invited to also join us for the extended conversation, which will be taking place right after we close out the regular radio program at 12 noon. Okay, public safety. Let's go around on that with civil citations was something that a Facebook questioner had suggested. Do you believe in that when it comes to such things as possession of small amounts of marijuana? We also have situations here regarding, speaking of substances, substance abuse treatment, mental health treatment, a whole bunch of things that deal with criminal justice. And Alex Jordan, just overall, your philosophy when it comes to, as a city commissioner, what kind of tack you would take when it comes to fighting crime and improving public safety?
A lot of my current job work is dealing with public safety at our 28 colleges. And our colleges are open colleges. So here at TCC, for example, we have a lot of students who just can come in and out, and visitors who can come in and out. So I definitely agree that public safety is a key, is very important. For our recent situation that happened in Parkland, situations that's going around the nation as it relates to public safety. And I definitely truly believe that we have to have the tools in place for our law enforcement. We have to have the budget. We have to have the human resources. We have to ensure that definitely the technology that can come along with enhancing our public safety is important as well. What I'd like to see is more that we do have the opportunity for simple, if an individual have a simple incident that may have happened, a civil citation will be important. That will allow those individuals to have those petty crimes that may have been miscellaneous, that really did not impact an individual. But if someone did something that did not impact someone directly, that they have an opportunity to recover to ensure that they have an opportunity to move forward. And I definitely agree that public safety is something that we need to address along with the crime rate. The crime rate will reduce if the economic disparity within our community is addressed. And that's going back to my overall plan, economic development. We have more corporations. We have more companies here in Tallahassee that will give individuals opportunities for jobs. Depending on their skill set, that if they have a more of a workforce opportunity to be a janitor, be a maintenance, or do anything that does not truly have that skill set of whatever corporation come here, the more we have opportunities for jobs, the equal opportunity for employment. At the same time, that's very key to our community right now, is criminal justice system. But as a whole, economic development help reduce that crime, gives jobs opportunities.
Okay, connection between the two. Yes. Bill Shack.
Well, I think what we need to do, well, everybody in our community talks about, you know, retirees and keeping people here and businesses coming to town. Well, everything in children's services, everything is related to public safety. If that is the first thing we need to fix, obviously. So how do we do it? I mean, we need to fund it. We need to give the police every single dollar that we possibly can for them to get the staffing they need. Everyone knows we have a shortfall in staffing. We have problems hiring police officers because there's some, there's things that allow them to not get hired because of marijuana use. I think it's 2 years or something like that. But I took to Citizens Police Academy, and in 9 weeks, I learned so much about what the police need, what they don't have, and where they're going, and they just need people. And there's so many people retiring that we've got to find a way to get them. So we need to be innovative. I personally believe that maybe seniors in high school should go to the Citizens Police Academy to learn about the police force and think about the decisions that they'll make as a senior in high school and a freshman in college, so that they don't have that possibility of doing something that's going to not let them become police officers if they want to.
Yeah.
I'm 50 years old, and after I got done, I wanted to be a police officer. So, you know, it was really exciting. I learned a lot. And the other thing is we need to bring back a DARE-type program to schools. We need to get in the communities, and that's one way to do that, is to bring police officers in the community together in elementary school, middle school, and like I say, high school. Maybe they go to the Citizens Police Academy at one point to learn about the police. So those are the things we got to do a little bit differently. But everything we want to do great in Tallahassee – all starts with public safety. So we need to address it head on and start to really do something a little bit different.
Do you, any ideas you have, Lisa Brown?
Of course. So first of all, this is a serious issue and absolutely without a doubt probably the top and most important issue that we have facing us right now. And so we need a competent and serious candidate to work on that. And I've gotten the endorsements of both the PBA and the firefighters, local associations, and I'm really proud of that. Additionally, so to sort of talk about that a little bit, I grew up in a law enforcement family here in Tallahassee. And so I'm no stranger to the conversation about what's happening on that front. Add to that, I've spent days touring the jail. I've worked with a number of law enforcement over the last few years listening. Mental health is absolutely a huge issue for us. Huge. The last time I was over at the jail, I was asking questions, and it's literally 98% of the folks that are in there right now are as a result of some sort of drug-related something. Drugs play a role in that, so we have to address that as well. It goes back to economic development. The same roads that I couldn't drive down when I was – or walk down when I was 10 years old, I still can't walk down them and feel safe. We've got to make some very, very thoughtful, long-term decisions on economic development, both with job opportunities. I'm also a huge supporter of recidivism prevention programs. I provide financial education to a number of recidivism prevention programs here in town. So this is a multidimensional problem. This is not something that you can just, I think it shows sort of a lack of maturity if you just kind of come at it with this, that's how we're going to fix this. It's not that simple. This is a multidimensional problem that we have to create multidimensional solutions for.
Okay, Richard Curzola, your dimensions that you would like to bring in there.
People are concerned. People are worried in this city and throughout Leon as well. But I think it starts with education, because in order to tell someone what they need to do, or this is the way we're going to fix something, I need to tell you why. And besides community policing as well, it starts with how we educate our youth and our law enforcement. I interned, and I would, through my mentorship, I would mentor young men and women in the school system, and then I would compare it psychologically and sociologically to them in the prison system. And there wasn't a big difference in regards to minorities and how they feel in the community. And that was very alarming to me. And that's when I realized, okay, if we can educate you or send you into the programs the city already has in place, whether it's the Citizens Police Academy, whether it's seeing how we go about our day-to-day jobs in law enforcement, and building that community sense of safety where they're not an enemy, I think that also can be a step in the right direction. Because a lot of people, especially youth, college students, feel as if they look a certain way, they're tried a certain way, they'll be criminalized or more likely, and it has to do with the school-to-prison pipeline. And people are very upset. People are angry. So we talk about all these things we want to do, but there's not one way to do it. If we educate and have forums and talk as a community, we can move forward. But we need that sense of community, that sense of we're a family, we're all together in this. Now we're trying to separate people, because people are upset. When I go door to door, yes, I can tell you about the Neighborhood Watch Academy, program, and going out and surveilling the neighborhoods on Thursdays with police officers and things like that, but they feel as if they can't do that because they live in a certain part of town. And it's time that we build the communities and bridge them together and not always have them apart. So I think it's going to take a unified front, genuinely, to know that we're all in this together to be able to make that change and everyone feels safe in this city.
Okay, Jeremy Matla.
To answer the initial question, yes, we should decriminalize marijuana right away. Drug abuse is a health issue. It's not a criminal issue. And what we've seen is drug convictions have fueled our crime problem and have made things worse. As far as crime goes, we need to look at the bigger picture of how poverty and crime are related. We have a great program in the TEMPO program, reaching out to people who might otherwise get into trouble and providing them with an opportunity. 25 years ago, I lived in Providence. We saw a lot of violence then. 2 weeks ago, my team, we were canvassing, knocking doors in that same neighborhood. An hour after we left, a tragedy struck. You know, there was a murder right there. 25 years, and these poverty issues have not been addressed. So when we really start getting into communities, creating opportunities, and giving people a different sort of path, then we can really start to focus on the crime problem.
Okay, we have a Facebook question that comes in that the incumbent in seat 3, Nancy Miller, has expressed a desire to accelerate the process to select the city manager. And would you folks, is there a consensus you'd like to be part of that selection process? Like maybe we hold off until after the election or what do you think, Alex?
I think we should hold off. We have the mayor, seat 3 and seat 5 is currently available for us 5 to be elected in November. And I think that we should all be part of that. We have seat 3, seat 5, and as I mentioned, the mayor seat. So why don't we all be part of that right now? Reese could be interim and allow the current commissioners to help guide the city. And I think that's the direction we should.
Yeah, it sounds like we're talking with a Supreme Court justice or something here. What do you think, Bill?
Well, the decision to, go through a process with the city's attorney, but not the city manager at the same time. Maybe they should have done that right away. I mean, they put out ads for applicants, and it turned out that Cassandra Jackson was indeed the best qualified person, so we hired her, which is a great decision. Well, why didn't we do the same thing as soon as the city mayor position was one that became interim? Why didn't we send out that and do that now? So since we didn't do that, the commission decided that it was best to wait till one of us or a new commission was on the was going to do the hiring. So why change it? So we need to do what they've originally intended. Nobody thinks that shoving this hire, if you will, for Reese Goad is anything good. So let's wait and let's let us make a decision. As someone in the restaurant business for so long, I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people. I can't wait to be in a process where we get to hire someone that's going to run our city.
No, okay. Lisa, same deal? Or?
Same deal to a degree, but I think I might have a little bit different take. So no doubt about it, the city manager position is – the hiring of that is absolutely the most important job of the city commission, period. Quite frankly, the current commissioners, as well-intentioned as they may be in their own perspectives, can really do whatever they want, because when the new commissioners get in there, regardless of a contract, the city manager will work at the will of the city commission, and there will be an opportunity to address that should they see fit. But I don't think that anyone, including anyone at this table or there's nobody right now that has the information that they need in order to make the best decision about what's good for Tallahassee. Period, including the current city commissioners. They need that information as well. And so, I've had the experience of in my career of hiring and firing thousands and have worked with executive recruiting firms. And I think that that is an excellent resource to make sure that we are impartial, that we're transparent, and that we are, making the best possible decision for the city, regardless of which commission takes that action. Rest assured, the right decision ultimately, will be encouraging.
No, okay, Richard, do you want to be part of that decision-making process then?
Yeah, I would sure love to, but I'm also agreeing with the fact that they should hold off, because it's been prolonged already so long that what's the purpose of accelerating that decision all of a sudden when seats or a good chunk of the commission is on their way out? So there's no need to make a decision that for a position that the next person in C3, 5, and the mayor will have to work with. So there's no need of rushing that decision at all. And I didn't answer the last question in regards to marijuana, so if I can.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm here for recreational use of marijuana, and I'm a supporter of that. So I just wanted to make that clear because I didn't get to answer that last part. But yeah.
Okay. Terrific. All right. And Jeremy.
Yeah, I think it's very important that the city manager and the incoming commission have a great working relationship based on mutual respect. I know if I were leaving my business, I wouldn't make a hiring decision that affects the people that they're going to be working with directly. I think we need to slow down a little bit. There's no rush. I think Reese is doing a good job keeping the ship together, and we'll have three new commissioners, and they're all going to be trying to get their bearings on the commission. It's going to be a new experience for everybody. Let's not rush. Let's work with the interim city manager, really get our bearings in city government, do the national search, but then make a well-informed decision at the end of all of that.
Okay, here's a quickie, and we can even do it one word answer if you would like here, but it's another Facebook question here. Do you want to continue the CRA? Now, it is allowed under Florida law, even though the legislature last year began the process of attempting to pull the plug or to vastly modify the whole CRA thing. But it seems to have caused at least a little bit of problems for the city of Tallahassee. So as a commissioner, do you want to see that continue, since the city apparently is going to continue to be part of this here, Alex?
Yes, I would like for it to continue on. But however, we need to sit down and look at some of the process. As I mentioned earlier about some of the loopholes and some of the concerns that our citizens have of the CRA and how different things are being handled currently. And we can definitely move forward with it, but we need to streamline some of the process, make it more transparency, ensure that accountability is being there.
Okay, real quick, Bill.
Do I want to keep it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll keep some of it, but let's use it for the right reasons. You know, putting new facades on attorneys' offices is not what CRA is supposed to be used for. So let's use it correctly. Let's use it what it was intended to be used for. And I wouldn't spend any CRA dollars or approve any project until every sidewalk and every streetlight in every community that was promised one or should get one gets one.
I was hoping my porch could get something. And anyway, Lisa.
Well, I streetlights, absolutely. Why? Because they address the crime issue. Crime doesn't happen in the light. Typically, it happens in the dark. So there are ways of using CRA money that will help us with crime, that will help us, again, back to that economic development, economic vitality question. So used properly, yes. I mean, I met with Sean. Sean runs a seafood truck on Orange Avenue the other day, and he's like, where's my CRA money, you know? And he's been there forever. And I thought, you know, so there's some inspiration that's coming along the campaign trail that's really, you know, helping, I think, all of us to see where the need really is.
Yeah, need new tires for Sean's truck. Right. What do you think? No.
Reform and revamp. We can sit down, and the things that are too broad, it goes back to transparency. Things are too broad for the public to understand. We can be specific on it, and the things that are that aren't understood, we can make it and simplify it in regards to the CRA and go back to its original intention. Let's help the people who need to be helped in the South Side, in Frenchtown, the people who feel like they're not being helped, the people we need to talk to. Sit down with the neighborhood associations and continue those conversations towards progressing towards a CRA that works for everyone.
Okay, and last word, Jeremy Matlow.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Let's keep the CRA and let's use it for its original intent. Let's go into the neighborhoods that need the investment. My business was fortunate enough to get a $9,000 loan from the CRA to get us off the ground. And I think, you know, those types of investments, when we start focusing on locally owned projects and environmental projects, will be really helpful for our community.
Thanks, folks. We invite you to hang around online after the radio program goes off the air. We continue the discussion on Facebook Live. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. We had Lydell Rawls and Evan Rossi back there today. Crew for today on the TV side, Suzanne Smith, Brandy Steeney, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Summersill, Carly Soder, and John Manson Hing for Facebook Live and WFSU.org. It's Tricia Moynihan. I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow, it is Tallahassee City Commission, seat four, the mayor's seat. We'll chat more then. Welcome to our extended conversation of this Political Perspectives with Tallahassee City Commission candidates who are all vying for seat number three. And we have all five: Alexander Jordan, Bill Shack, Lisa Brown, Richard Garzola, and Jeremy Matlow. And I'm Tom Flanagan. And we are going to go around the table and give each of these fine folks an opportunity to make kind of the final wrap-up pitch as to why they, their skill sets, their background, their experience, and just all-around good nature would be an ideal pick for this particular job on the Tallahassee City Commission. And as we randomized it here, Alexander Jordan, you have the floor, sir. Make your best shot here.
All right. All good. Thank you. Thank you again, Tom, for allowing us to be here with you this morning. As I mentioned earlier, I come with 22 plus years of public service experience. And one of the things that I know some of these individuals at the table don't realize that I have law enforcement background. I work for agricultural law enforcement. So law enforcement is very, very important to my heart, of course, with public service. So I definitely believe that we need to have the resources that are available for our law enforcement to do their job within our community. At the same time, it's a domino's effect on the economic development, as I mentioned earlier, that it allows the community to have opportunities for jobs, placement, reduce the crime. Of course, mental health is an ongoing issue. Recently, I was down at Daytona on as my regular job responsibility is working with our 28 college on behavior and mental health issues. And right now, our law enforcement are not trained to deal with mental health issues. If you look at our current prison system and a local jail system, there's a lot of mental health inmates in there. And that starts with having the resources within our community, having those programs to allow the community-based organizations to develop home-based programs to work with those individuals instead of having them being locked up in our system. Our system is already dealing with enough. So definitely we need to look at that. So that's the twofold: economic development, the criminal justice system, the crime rates in Tallahassee. If we address those two things, then we can look at how we can educate our community, of course, on the CRA. It's important that we educate our community on many things that impact them as citizens in our community. So with that said, equal opportunity, community, unity, all those things come together to make Tallahassee, again, that one great place that we call our All-American City. And with me being in the city, seat three, elected official seat, will be the right choice because I'm about the people. I'm about the concerns that we have within our community. I'm looking at it from a proactive standpoint, not from a reactive. Because when you look at it from reactive, you don't make those right decisions for the people. To ensure that everybody have the wherewithal, the knowledge, and the understanding of what it's about and how we need to move forward to keep Tallahassee moving forward.
Alexander Jordan, thank you so much for being part of this today. Bill Shack, all yours, sir.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it, Tom, you hosting this event and all y'all. Appreciate the great conversation. But the bottom line is this. I got a website, BillShack.com. I'll tell you more than you want to know about me and what I've done. The bottom line is during that experiences that I've had, I felt that the city wasn't making the right decisions and helping people improve their lives. And I think that's what city commissioners are supposed to do. So during my time in the restaurant industry, working with budgets, working with opening restaurants and training staffs and doing all the things that have to be done to have a successful business, then getting involved in charity work and really seeing not just being a volunteer, but then getting into their lives and knowing the struggles that someone with raising someone with intellectual disabilities has to get the right services. And then working with the homeless and seeing those folks not get moved out into permanent housing quick enough. And then seeing a lot of them that have mental health issues. That's a big issue in our city. But there's a lot of issues in our city, and I just felt like our commissioners weren't making decisions to help those. I think that they were helping out their buddies and their old acquaintances, and the city insiders have a lock on this city, and I think that we need to change that. And I think voters are well aware of it now. I think voters think that it's time, like I always say in my campaign, to put some new folks with a new vision into leadership position, but not just leaders, but leaders who have done it, leaders who have been in the community. I've been in the community for years doing the same thing. So what I'll be doing on the city commission is nothing different. I'll be the most accessible commissioner in the history of Tallahassee. You can come work with me at the homeless shelter, serving a meal, helping me prep breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Then we'll sit down and talk about your issues, and I'll go to City Hall and fight for you. So that's what a commissioner is supposed to do, work for the people, and that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it. Lisa Brown.
Well, I think I will bring to the City Commission a balance of not only the ability to manage multi-million-dollar budgets, but also the understanding of individuals' personal finances. I look at loan applications from my members, and I hear their stories and their struggles every single day. I know exactly the issues that they have in obtaining affordable housing, the issues that they have making ends meet, and making it to Payday Friday. And so I think that that gives me a unique perspective. And look, I'm not a part of the good old boys club. And this is a, I think what's being suggested is exactly right. We do need new faces on the city commission. Bringing my experience not only as a change agent, I've turned around multiple financial institutions, but I also come from a highly regulated environment where every single deposit I ever make, every single withdrawal I ever make, every business decision I ever make is audited by no less than three independent outside entities. You can't come any cleaner than that, I promise. I think that I bring that along with just being a mom, and a mom of two awesome kids that I want to see live here, and I want them to be close to me as they grow up, so I can see my grandkids. I think that I would bring that, and I would certainly appreciate your vote for Lisa Brown for City Commission Seat 3.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Richard Garzel.
I believe that our next commissioner needs to be someone who makes decisions with compassion, with being an ethical individual, of course, but just being a good human being and caring for our neighbors and our fellow residents of Tallahassee and the people who live here. I'm an unapologetic servant leader in every facet and form of those words, because what I've been doing in my campaign, I will continue to do after, and I've done before. I've been in the community. I've been in the street cleaning up. I've talked to people. I've been a mentor. I've been a mentee. I've been part of leadership summits. I've gone around the state doing that for many, and that's why a big part of the things I preach are education, because it starts with education in regards to what is going on and that transparency for the people of this city. We need someone who cares, and people just want to be heard. They want to feel like what they say is important and matters, and to me it does. And I let people know all the time, the air you breathe, the streets you walk, and the struggle you face is the same one I face every single day. And that's why I'm running for city commissioner, because I need you to understand that that fight that we fight every day and that pain I see in someone's eyes when they tell me that they don't have a plate of food the next day, that they're worrying about that, a lot of these other issues to them fall a lot shorter when your stomach is grumbling and you're worrying about that. And a lot of times they just want to feel heard that that is going to be worked on in some way, somehow. So as the next city commissioner, I plan on working on the economic segregation and the social divide and collaborating the private and public and nonprofit sectors of our businesses. But I also am going to be an accessible commissioner because I don't have a family, I don't have children. So that helps in my accessibility. I'll be able to knock on your door and come by for lunch. I'll be able to answer the phone. You can come by my office at any time. This will be my main job. Tallahassee will be my number one priority at all times throughout the day and night. And that's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate that. And Jeremy Matlow.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This election really comes down to this. As a community, are we ready to take control of our future, or do we want more of the same? Over the course of this campaign, I've been able to knock on thousands of doors, and everybody is saying the same thing. They're fed up with crime, they're fed up with poverty in their community, and they're tired of reading about dysfunction in City Hall. My life experience growing up in Tallahassee and poverty, building a business from the ground up, I have the perspective to see what needs to be done, and I know what we need to do it. As a business owner, I work with a multi-million-dollar budget, but it doesn't really matter how big a budget gets. What's important is the value of a single dollar and to make sure we're not going to waste anything. As a leader, as a commissioner, I'll be open and accessible to everybody. That's exactly the same way we've done on our campaign, and you'll have just as much influence no matter how many stack campaign checks you can write. And I think what's important for people to know is oftentimes local elections are decided in the primary on August 28th. So when you're thinking about if you're not normally a primary voter, if you normally just vote in November, city politics is important and we need you to show up. So I'm Jeremy Matlow and I'm asking for your vote on August 28th.
And unlike so many other folks that we see in the political makeup of our world, these are the folks that you'll bump into on the street, in the grocery store, at Cascades Park, wherever. And we appreciate everyone coming in here to be part of our discussion here today on our extended version of Perspectives for our Facebook Live audience. And thank you so much. We'll catch you tomorrow during Tallahassee City Commission Seat 4, the Mayor's Race. Take care.